All right, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day in which you have blessed us with, Lord. Lord, let us keep our eyes focused on you. Lord, prepare our hearts for your word. Lord, prepare our ears to hear. Lord, I pray that not only will we get a better understanding of the Holy Spirit, Lord, but I pray that it will affect our lives, Lord, as we leave here tonight, as we go into prayer tonight, Lord. Be led by the Spirit, Lord. Stay in step with the Spirit, Lord. I pray we understand these things, Lord. And so, Lord, I just pray again, prepare our hearts for your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as Modesto said, some believe the Holy Spirit to be mystical, a mystical force, or some impersonal power that God bestows to the Christian. But according to Scripture, we know that the Holy Spirit is co-equal with God the Father and God the Son. So if we look in Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 3, it says, "But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God." So what we see right here is Peter is addressing Ananias, and he is saying, "You've lied to the Holy Spirit. You haven't lied to man, but to God," equaling the Holy Spirit to God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, or the third person of the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, three in one, right? We've all heard it. So the Holy Spirit, being God, is eternal, omnipotent or all-powerful, omniscient or all-knowing, omnipresent or ever-present. He is everywhere. He is the gift giver and the fruit producer in the life of a believer. He is also personal, having distinct characteristics, which I'm going to go through a few of them. And I will call out the verses that those apply to. So he teaches, guides, and comforts us, as we see in John chapter 14. He intercedes and helps us to pray, as we see in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. In 1 Corinthians 2:10 and 11, and 1 Corinthians 12:11, he has emotions, intellect, and will. The Spirit speaks. The Spirit spoke to Philip and told him to go over and walk alongside the carriage when to address the eunuch in Acts chapter 8. The Spirit could be lied to, as we just read in Acts chapter 5, and he could be quenched, as it's seen in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. And he could be grieved, as seen in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 and 31. So the Holy Spirit has been given to us. He indwells every believer, and he will be with us forever. So if you would, turn to John chapter 14. Starting in verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you." So the context of chapter 14 is the continuing in the upper room discourse where Jesus was addressing his disciples on the night of Passover. The disciples were in disarray. They were confused, and most of all, they were troubled. Jesus had just told them that he was going away and that they could not go with him. They could not follow him where he was to go. He told them that one of the 12 disciples was to betray him, and then he also told them that Peter was then to deny him three times. Jesus, sensing the troubles in their hearts, began to speak comforting words or words of encouragement to his disciples. He tells them to not be troubled because he goes to prepare a place for them, and if he prepares them a place, then he will surely come back for them. And after he leaves, he says that he will be leaving one just like himself to minister to them, to comfort them, to aid them, and to empower them. So, looking at the verse, John 14, verse 16, Jesus says that he will ask the Father, and he will send another helper. The helper, advocate, comforter, counselor. The Greek word for helper is parakletos, meaning one called alongside. The Holy Spirit is the helper, or paraclete, that is given by God. He is, as Jesus said, another helper. This is that the Holy Spirit is another helper, similarly of the same kind as Jesus. The Spirit is a gift to the believer, gift to the world. Many scriptures speak of the Holy Spirit being given to believers. God gives the Spirit as a gift to us. A gift is not earned, it is free and unmerited. A gift is given willingly to someone without payment. And the Holy Spirit is given freely by God to the believer, and the Holy Spirit will be with us forever. So in verse 17, left to itself, the unbelieving world cannot receive the Spirit of truth because of their unbelief. They do not see or know the Spirit. But in contrast, Jesus tells his disciples that they will know the Spirit and that he is now with them and he will be in them. So tonight, we'll highlight three separate experiences of the Holy Spirit. He is with us, he is in us, and he comes upon us. So here in this specific passage in John chapter 14, we see two of those experiences. The Holy Spirit is first, he is with you. He's with you, me, everyone. He is everywhere. And then he is in you. The word with is para in the Greek. It is that the Holy Spirit comes alongside us to guide us. He is the helper. He is with us even before we become believers. The Holy Spirit pursues the unbeliever. In John chapter 15, verse 26, it says, "But when the helper comes, who will I send to you from the Father? The Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." He is the one who convicts us of our unbelief, of our sin, and he is the one who points us to Jesus Christ. And then in John chapter 16, verse 7, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I did not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." The Spirit reveals that we are no good. He convicts the world of sin. The Spirit is omnipresent. He is everywhere all at once, and he is in pursuit of the unbeliever. Run as the unbeliever might, they cannot outpace the Spirit. Now, Jesus says that the Spirit will convict the world of righteousness because Jesus will go to the Father. The Holy Spirit is a witness that this is God's standard of righteousness, and that is Jesus Christ, the perfect presentation of a righteous life. The Holy Spirit shows the world the righteousness of Jesus, and in doing so, reveals the unrighteousness of the world. As it says in Isaiah 64, 6, our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. It is only by the righteousness of Christ that we can enter the kingdom of heaven. As Romans 3, 22 says, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. The Holy Spirit shows our need for a Savior. He convicts us of our sin, exposes our unrighteousness, and then reveals the Savior, Jesus Christ. So the Spirit is with us in bringing us to Christ, and then we accept Christ in our life. And in verse 17, Jesus said that the Spirit will be in us. So in John chapter 20, verse 22, Jesus now appears to his disciples in his resurrected form, and he says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit." Upon surrendering your life to Christ, when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into a person's life and takes resident in our hearts. In Ephesians 1, 13 through 14, Paul writes that the Holy Spirit is the seal of salvation for all who believe. Paul also wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 3, 2, that they received the Holy Spirit when they placed their faith in Jesus Christ. So it is that a person receives the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. He begins to dwell in us upon our coming to Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." Having the Holy Spirit reside within us, is to have God himself indwelling every believer. Now, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit as a counselor who would dwell within believers. This promise assures us of God's continuous presence and guidance in our lives. Rest assured that we are never alone and that the Holy Spirit within us is a constant source of comfort and truth, leading us in all circumstances. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So when we accept Christ into our lives, the power of the Spirit is in us to conform us to his image. It is nothing we do solely by the work of God who sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. And upon our belief in him, our bodies become the temple or dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, who transforms our character into his. Now the third experience that I talked about earlier, will be seen in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is the Spirit comes upon the believer. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And then Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The power of the Spirit upon a believer. This will be covered all throughout the week. But what I'll say is the Spirit comes upon the believer to strengthen and equip the believer for service unto God. It's at this moment of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. He empowered them with boldness and new abilities. This event marks the birth of a Spirit-empowered church and shows that God's power is made available to all believers. So the Holy Spirit is given. That was the topic that I was given. So as I wrap up, that's what I'd like to highlight or put an exclamation on, is that the Holy Spirit is given to us. He is the great and mighty gift given to us by God, the great and mighty giver. Luke 11, verse 13 says, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Holy Spirit has been given to us. He is with us to convict us of our unbelief and lead us to Christ. Upon accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is in us, conforming us into his image. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he empowers you for service and effective ministry. God has given us the Holy Spirit, who transforms people's hearts everywhere, convicting them and leading them to Christ. He will dwell with us forever and conform us into his image. He will empower us for the Christian service. This is a great reason to rejoice and thank God for this great gift that he has bestowed upon us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Again, Lord, we thank you for the Spirit in which you have given, Lord, a gift, Lord, one that doesn't require payment, Lord. It's unmerited, Lord. As we are not deserving, Lord, it is your grace and mercy upon us, Lord. And we are so thankful for that, Lord. Lord, we love you. Lord, I pray that we be led by the Spirit tonight as we go off into prayer, Lord, that even the prayers that we don't have the words for, we know your Spirit, Lord, that you will pray the groanings from us, Lord, as it says in Romans 8, Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you for your Spirit and what you have given to us tonight, Lord. And we say, just, we love you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have just want to emphasize something. Thank you, Nick, for just laying that out and making it abundantly clear. I do want to say this because at Calvary Chapel, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so with that, I want to point out two things. Number one, in Acts chapter 2, and something that Nick went over is verse 4, where it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." That's a demonstration of the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you look at verse 3, it says, "And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues." So it was as the Spirit came upon them, right? This was promised by the Lord before his ascension in verse 8, where it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And that was what he explained, epi, right? In fact, Christ had breathed upon them, and they received the Spirit, and he was in them, right? But the helper to empower them for the work of the ministry was coming, and he said, "Go to Jerusalem and wait." And they did. If you turn to Acts chapter 19... And this is why I'm just giving you some scripture so that you understand. Again, Calvary Chapel believes that a believer definitely has the indwelling Spirit of the Holy, and the indwelling Spirit at the moment of salvation. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it may be at that time that he comes upon the believer. But we see it oftentimes afterwards. Here's an example of this. In Acts chapter 19, verse 1, it says, "And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples," right? The disciples, they were believers. "And he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they said, 'No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said, 'Into what then were you baptized?' They said, 'Into John's baptism.' And Paul said, 'John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus.' On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them." So there's that word again, epi, coming upon or empowering them, right? "And they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all." So I just wanted to make sure, you know, as far as that's concerned, if you have never been received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's something that it should be desired of the believer. And again, I just gave you evidence of that in regards to that in Scripture. Even now, I would ask you, anyone who has never been baptized, not in water, but I'm talking about receive the baptism of the Spirit, the coming upon of the Spirit. You can do that now. So I'm going to open that up right now. We're here for a week of prayer and fasting. And so whoever would like to, you can come up and we'll pray for you, lay hands on you. We'll ask Modesto to come up. If anyone does, we can pray for you. Yeah. One? Absolutely. Anyone? And we'll wait. We'll wait for anyone else who would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All right. Anyone else? Remember some years ago, Jim Hesterly, He came and he taught on the Holy Spirit, and it was one of those evenings to where he did the very same thing. It's nothing weird. It's something that the Lord had taught, and it was very clear that this is what's necessary to be effective, you know, in the ministry, that empowering of the Spirit. So, okay. Well, let's pray. Let's pray if you can lay hands on them. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters who have stepped up and who desire to be baptized, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, to receive the empowering of the Spirit, Father. And we recognize, as we went over Scripture, Lord, that it can be two separate occasions. Lord, we know that the believer is immediately filled with the Spirit, Lord, as you come to indwell us, Father. But right now, I pray, Father, for each one. I pray for Juan. I pray for Jessica, for Dory, for Manny, for Gladys, and for Andy. And I ask, Lord, that you would empower them, Father, that you would anoint them, Father, in such a way, Lord, that it is evident, Lord, that you have done this very work in their lives, Father, that they would be effective witnesses of you, Lord, of Jesus Christ in their Jerusalem, in their Judea, in their Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, Lord, and that you will, with your promise, be with them to the ends of the earth, Lord, to the very last breath that they take. And so, Father, I ask that you would do that, Lord, that you would bless them with this gift, as Nick has explained so well, Father. It is something that is received, not something that is earned, Lord, but it is someone, Lord, who has given us an empowerment to do your work in an effective way. And so, Father, I pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come upon them and empower them for the work of the ministry. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.